It helps to be on. I need this at home so everybody can hear me. I think at home when I say something, people hear me, but they're just like, yeah, right now. Or, yeah, right, honey. You do your thing. All right, today in history. Today is what, July 9th, right? So have you ever heard of, and we'll come around to how I got to this topic right here, which you'll be like, what in the world is he talking about? Have you ever heard of the Starfish Prime Project? Has anyone ever heard of that? I have never heard of the Starfish Prime Project until... Is that a bird? Oh, oh. Maybe it's a Starfish Prime. It kind of rolls with that. It's actually kind of funny. So in 1962, scientists, for whatever reason, decided to do an experiment to see what would happen if they released and exploded a nuclear warhead 250 miles up into the atmosphere. They wanted to see, you know, what would happen to Earth, the atmosphere. I don't know, but what were you thinking, right? It's a nuclear warhead. So anyhow, they let this nuclear warhead go on July 9th, 1962. This experiment they did called the Starfish Prime, which this what they found out was. Don't do it again, right? Number one. Number two is they found out this was the first accidental geothermal storm. So that's how they found out about a lot of the geothermal storms. When they released this in the atmosphere, a lot of radiation in the atmosphere. But then at the same time, it cut out like a lot of the communications. It burned out satellites and all sorts of things. So anyhow, now you know the Starfish Prime Project was 1962, July 9th, and I got there because I was researching some jokes about fish. So it took me to a starfish, but anyway, so a couple jokes this morning. Why don't fish play volleyball? They might get caught in the net, so they stay away from those nets, huh? Where is the best place fish like to sleep? Riverbed. They really like the riverbed. And then, do you know what the most expensive fish is of all time? The goldfish. Let's just pray this morning before we get started. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time that we can just be here. Thank you for just some time. Just some time that we can laugh. You gave us all our senses and our personalities and we can laugh. And all the things that we do as people. Lord, help us just to come together now. Just instill in us the power of your word, the breath that you have into this scripture that we have as we review again your word. Give us the firm foundation that we need to have in our life to honor you, to glorify you based on what you tell us in your word. So the other week, we started going back to why we hold to the fact that God's word is inspired. Remember, we talked about God breathed scripture. The doctrine of the church, Christianity, is this book right here. Is God breathed? We talked about that the other week. Then we talked about what's going on in society. Remember, we talked about this, that what we find in society today is the deconstruction movement. So where society is taking scripture and it's being deconstructed into, well, you know, maybe those scriptures aren't really inspired, or maybe those scriptures aren't really from God. Maybe it was all created by man. And that's what we find, in the deconstruction movement. There's something called the illusion of truth effect. The illusion of truth effect is this. It's to repeat a lie often enough that it becomes truth. The illusion of truth effect. It was actually a law of propaganda that the Nazis used years ago, and people have used it ever since World War II, that they understand that if you tell the lie long enough,
is that ring?
If you tell the lie long enough, the propaganda sinks into our heads as humans, and we begin to believe the lie. And that's what I thought about this. We go back to the garden, right? We talked about Eve in the garden, and we talked about the serpent Satan coming to Eve. And I think with how many times, we see that the serpent came to Eve. Did it happen multiple times before she went? So how many times does it take for all of a sudden that we find that our thought process can be changed from the truth of what things are? Our scripture, we need to hold to the fact of our scripture. God's word is God breathed. Because as believers, what we find here in scripture is what? It holds to the truth of what? Our salvation, of who God is, how we get to heaven, how our sins are cleansed. Everything we believe as Christians is based right here in Scripture. Second Peter, you can open up there. We're going to be in Second Peter. Second Peter, chapter 1. Start there. Second Peter, chapter 1, verse 12. Peter says this. So I always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. Peter is telling us how important it is to remember these things. We need to refresh, and that's what we're doing with this, refresh our memory of why we hold to Scripture being God-breathed, God-inspired. The Bible, which is also known as, in the early Christianity, it was also known as the canon. When I first heard that as a kid, I'm thinking, you light a little lighter, you have a canon, you watch the old Civil War movie. Actually, our neighbor down the road used to have a canon. And 4th of July, he would shoot this canon off. And the first time I ever heard it, our windows would shake. I'm like, what in the world is this? But he had a canon. But not that canon, but we're talking about the Bible as being the canon. And what does that mean? The canon was, it's a root word. It means reed. It's a root word meaning a reed. And the reed was a measurement. They used reeds as a measurement. So when we talk about Scripture, we talk about the canon, or the canonicity of Scripture, it's taken as a reed, a measuring stick. So today, we're looking at how these books that we have in God's Word, that we hold to as being inspired, how were they measured? That's what we're looking at. How were these letters and books measured that we can be firm and sure that it's God's Word inspired by God? That's what we're looking at. Because the church didn't create God's Word, right? The church has taken these documents and categorized them and put them into what we have as the Bible. And why did we do that? Why did the church do it? Early in Christianity, even after like 100 years after Christ was no longer on earth, throughout the region of Jerusalem and the early church, there's a lot of heresy. A lot of people are claiming, hey, well, I was an apostle or I held to this, and they had their own scriptures that they started to promote, that they were trying to build for their own edification, right? For getting their own money. We see that in scripture where those things started to take place even before that. But the early church then said, hey, these people are misusing God's word, and they're misusing God to get to their own glorification, and they're losing, how do I say that? Not the salt, but they're losing the effect, what God really wanted to have known by me, right? What God truly inspired. So, what was the measuring stick? How was the Bible tested? It kind of rolls down to this. You look at the back of your notes, there was five reads testing the measurement. How were these books in the Bible measured to know that they are inspired by God? The first one that the early church looked at, and this was a couple hundred years after Christ walked the earth and the apostles were here, was the letter or the book written by a prophet? So you look at the Old Testament was written by what? Prophets. You look at Moses. We look at, in the New Testament, apostles and prophets. But the church looked at, number one, were these letters written by a prophet of God, which we know the Old Testament, Moses. And they looked at, so if it was a prophet, the prophet of God, then they looked to see, did God act on those words from that prophet? For instance, Moses, right? We know Moses, and we know the Jews with the Jewish Bible, which is the Old Testament. We know all the historical events that Moses spoke about, all the laws, everything that happened within the Jewish community to escape Egypt, all were documented, all took place. Moses was a prophet, and God acted on those words that he gave to the prophet. So that's how, number one, early church determined, were these books, were these letters that we have in our scripture from a prophet, and that did God act on them? You know, that's kind of the two main ones right there. And then the third one, so the first one was it written by a prophet? The second one, was the writer confirmed by acts of God? The third one, in the early church, did the message tell the truth about God? There is, in the early church, the heresy that was taking place. We find it still in some writings that are out in Christianity, in the deconstructionism, that's saying, well, hey, these over here are special. These over here are one up. More information that the Bible doesn't give. A little bit more information than that heresy was taking place then. So they looked at the letters that were written by the prophet that God acted on, so they know they were true. To edify and uplift God on who he was and what he said who he was, as God being the creator, as salvation comes through who? Jesus Christ only, and not through these special works, or not through, hey, you have to give so much to the church to make sure you're going to go to heaven. No, none of that. So those things that they looked at is, number one, was it written by a prophet? Was the writer confirmed by acts of God? Number three, did the message tell the truth about God and who God was and the plan for salvation? The fourth, does it come from the power of God? Did what Scripture said come with the power from God to what? Hebrews 4:12 says this. I'll read it real quick, and this is one of those marking points that the early church set out, that it had to have this. Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The early church, they looked at these documents because they had to make sure God's word was upheld, and they had to determine which scriptures were the true inspired God's word that we can pass on for generations. Had the scripture had to have a point in the message that it could inspire us to change our life how God wants us to, right? So was the word active and living? So the prophet, so number one was the writings had to be from a prophet. Number two is the writer had to be have confirmed acts of God. Did the message tell the truth about God? Does it come from the power of God? Word living and active in somebody's life, it can change your life. And then was it accepted by the people of that time? This is kind of what we get down to today. And the reason I harp on this so much right now of the inspired word, because as believers, we've heard it a long time. Younger generation are being really taught that scripture might not be true, that scripture isn't. So when we look at this, at the early church, there's a lot of stuff going on. And if we take this back, we're thousands of years since the time of Christ, right? The Bible, the inspired word, was formed, documented, set into existence by the early church a few hundred years after Jesus walked here. That much closer, where they still had teachers that were taught by some of the apostles, but they still had detained. I mean, this could be like a year-long study, honestly, trying to narrow it down to make it in a half an hour. But so we had Jesus, we had the disciples, right? Jesus taught the disciples. The disciples followed Christ. The disciples ministered with Christ. Christ leads the earth through resurrection and ascension. The disciples now become apostles, right? So the apostles now, as they go out for years to come to speak and preach and give the inspired word, they had understudies just like they understudied Jesus. So a couple hundred years after the time of Christ, we still had these men that studied under the apostles, and they passed it on to the next generation, to the next generation. That's what today, thousands of years later, we get down to the illusion of truth effect, where society is telling us as believers and telling our younger generation as believers that the Bible might not be true based on it came from man. Did it really come from God? That's what their illusion of truth effect is. That's why Peter, 2 Peter, tells us we need to step back and refresh our memory because it's the repetition. How many of us in here and our family members are spending time reflecting on God's word, number one, then also reflecting, number two, how do we know this word that we say is inspired is truly inspired? When's the last time we remembered that? Or we opened our eyes to the fact that we need to defend this book. This is God's word. We need to remember. And that's what Peter was telling us. Guys, as long as I'm alive, we need to refresh ourselves knowing that this book is God's word. Inspired by God, the creator of the universe, speaks to us today from this book. Some people look at it and say, well, there's other denominations that have added books to Scripture. The Bible that we have right here was documented, put into practice by these five chords, these five reeds, these five canons, measurements that we know that they were inspired. There's some books that other denominations have within the Bible that were added 1,000 years after this book was documented. Look at the Old Testament and the New Testament, and they had some add-ons. Some of those add-ons, and this is what we look at now, the add-ons that some denominations added, they would say, well, they're good documents. They're great documents. There's religious information, historical information, but there might be some falseness. There's falseness in those documents. But the founding fathers of Christianity, who stepped back and put the Bible together, if they came from a prophet, and if it all the, met all the requirements that measured up to inspired the God's inspired word, they looked at it and said, hey, these are inspired. If there is one evidence of a falseness in there, if there's any question of it being false, they didn't use it. They threw it to the side. Because God is not false. If there's one documented item within that letter, it was moved to the side. They didn't throw it out and say, hey, this isn't important. They just said, this isn't inspired. You can read it. It's good documentation about the Lord. Good history. It's just like when you read a commentary based on somebody else's thought of what Scripture says. That's how they looked at it. But they didn't put that to the extent of this is the inspired word. Because some of those documents would be, you need to give, like I said, you give to the church or give alms, or you need to help people in this manner to get salvation. Because what we know is what? This is Jesus on, this is the thief on the cross. Salvation, all he did was believe. And he was with Christ that day in paradise. That's what we know. That's what the scripture, that's what we see within in scripture. Does that make sense? I'm trying to blow through a lot there. So let me just review these real quick. The first five that determined the books that we have in Scripture as being inspired. Was it written by a prophet? Number one. Was the writer confirmed by the acts of God? Number three. Did the message tell the truth about God? Number four. Does it come from the power of God? Number five, I don't think I finished off that one. Number five, was it accepted in the day by God's people and in that church? So, number five, this was a big indicator. Some churches within the region will say the apostles were out. They had these writings. And what did they have, really? They didn't have email. They didn't have text messages. They didn't even have snail mail. So what did they do? They had written words that they would take to the church at that time. So the apostle would go, and if let's say they planted a church at this location, they couldn't get back there, and they drafted letters back to the church. And these churches took those letters and they milled through them, and they hung to the words of what was being said. That's where these letters were, right? They were waiting to get these letters to understand, what do we do here with this problem? How do we reflect on God better for our community? So the early church then took what they knew at the time and took those letters and said, were these letters by the apostles? They already had the Old Testament that was formed. By the apostles now, was it accepted by the people in the region and in those churches? And if the majority of churches that were founded by apostles upheld to what those documents were, there wasn't any question. Then, boom, these are the inspired words, because they came from a prophet or an apostle, and it was acted on by God. Okay? So those are a few of the things that were taking place. And then, even in the case of Christ himself, so in the Old Testament, Christ himself, because I know we get into the Apocrypha, we get into some of the other scriptures by other denominations, Christ and the apostles only quoted from the Old Testament that we have here. There's not one quote from Christ or from the apostles that goes to another book, even though it was good writing, historical writing, it was not from the Old Testament scripture. So our founder said, these are the exact principles, these are what we can hold to, this is why we know and believe this book is inspired by God. These words coming from prophets had the historical facts based on God acting through these. Okay. 2 Peter 16 through 21. 16 through 21. Peter's saying, we did not follow. This is what we have to remember. Peter, an apostle. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we were told about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those stories, right? The illusion effect. The same thing that we found from happening at the time of the Nazis was happening there. These stories, these lies, these things to trick us. The deconstruction, we're adding things. But we were eyewitnesses. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came down to him from the majestic glory, saying, this is my Son, whom I love, with me I am well pleased. We ourselves, this is where Peter said, we ourselves heard this voice that came down from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain. You will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. The prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but man spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Praise God, right? The same Holy Spirit that was released to us, that indwells in us as believers. That's powerful. The Spirit of God within us through Christ. Peter's saying, we need to remember, we need to reflect, because what illusion of truth is all around us. It's all around our kids. It's all around society. When you can trick and train people through repetitive, the same lie, the propaganda, and people's minds get changed. We need to continually, parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, we need to tell our kids, we need to remind ourselves, this book, the Bible, is inspired by God. From chapter to chapter, it's been measured, the canon, it's been measured, and we know that measurement has taken place, and we can be firm on what Scripture says. Because it's so tricky, that illusion effect. We were at an event, don't get me wrong, so we were at an event, and it was a pretty big event, and it could be a historical event. And there are some issues that happened, and we saw it. Our family saw it with our own eyes. We saw what took place with our own eyes. Day later, on the news, showing something else. And I got a call from a neighbor that was questioning, well, this is what happened. I was like, no, this is not what happened. This is what happened. He said, no, this is what happened. I saw it on the news. I saw it on the internet. I'm like, I was there. And Peter's saying, I was there on the mountain when God spoke and brought his son up. That's what he said. He was an eyewitness. Our apostles that we hold to, that have passed on the gospels, that have passed on the inspired word, we as people and as a church in Christianity can be firm in God's word based on how the early church measured, made the measurements to understand that these were the true inspired word of God. So we need to remember ourselves. We need to make sure we're teaching that. We have to teach that. There's people that don't understand that the Bible is truly God's word. This is it. I walked to the cemetery this morning. You know, I walked in and I prayed to the church in the morning. And I looked at it and I'm like, you know, I'm going to be there one day. We're going to be in the ground. The truth from the early creation of the world is still found right here. The truth for salvation is still found right here. So we're going to be out there, well, maybe not out back in that cemetery, but we're going there. That's where we're all going. God's word is inspired because it has full fact and faith in God's word. Let's pray. Lord, I don't even know where to start. I do thank you so much. And I thank you for the Spirit speaking for generations to prophets and to the apostles, and you led people and you worked in people's hearts and lives, and men that were sinful men that were willing to stand up and be abused and killed and beat up and everything else, really just for the fact of them continuing to tell people that you are God. Lord, we are living under an illusion effect, and we know it's taking place. Lord, our society is all over the place. Help us, Lord, start with our hearts. Great. Just start with our hearts. That we can have a firm foundation in understanding and knowing that your book, the Bible that we have here today, is inspired by you through the prophets. Lord, help. Give us wisdom when we read this book. Give us wisdom when we understand, and so we can understand the Bible better, to apply it, to impact our life, so we can impact others. I pray for our community. I pray for people that, you know, don't have a care in the world about who you are, but yet, Lord, I know that we're all going to that cemetery someday. Lord, help us to remember that only through Jesus Christ, through you, that we can have salvation. Help us voice that and communicate that to people. Help us to be bold believers, not scared believers. Lord, help us to honor you and what you want us to do. In your name we pray.